Joining me now is Mark Densler. Mark is president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association and a good friend of the program. And Mark, it's good to have you here in the Skyline studio.
It's great to be here in person. A beautiful day in Chicago
so far.
And my obligatory first visit, I got to bring in muffins, you know. So I think all guests should do that.
Now, see, I want to, you know, after all these years, it's nice to start a precedent that first-time guests have to bring muffins and all kinds of treats.
Absolutely.
I like that. I think that's fair. Just for that, you'd get extra time.
Perfect.
Well, Mark, no, truly, it's good to have you here. It's good to have you here in person. Always good to have you on the program. And it's kind of interesting because I know that you co-authored this op-ed piece that was in the State Journal Register in Springfield, kind of coinciding with the fair. And obviously, we have this debate going on over the new trade agreement in Washington with the United States, Mexico, and Canada, which is, you know, vitally important to the state. And I think, you know, one of the points I think you guys made in this op-ed was that people don't necessarily associate agriculture with manufacturing.
You're absolutely right, and we partnered on that with the Illinois Farm Bureau.
Right.
Exactly right. During the state fair, when Nancy Pelosi was in town and Stephen Scalise and a number of members of Congress, you know, manufacturers export about $27 billion worth of goods, and our farmers, another $3 billion. And so the corn and the soybeans that are going around the world support the family farms that you saw driving back and forth to Springfield, and so vitally important that manufacturing farmers be able to sell their product around the world.
Well, and even when you have things like John Deere and, you know, to some extent Caterpillar, but also, you know, ADM, agricultural processing, I mean, that is industrial manufacturing.
Yeah, manufacturing and agriculture have gone together for years and years, and you mentioned some of the John Deere's and Caterpillar's or GSI in assumption make the huge grain bins that you see dotted in the landscape. And it's with 95% of the world's customers living outside the United States, it's so important to be able to sell. And these two industries are so linked. And if farmers do well, they go out and they buy a new combine, for example. And so that helps John Deere and it helps their suppliers. And if they're not able to sell their product, it can hurt the manufacturing sector as well because they are so linked.
Well, I know we have a story in today's Tribune about kind of the farmers' attitudes down in Springfield, down at the state fair gathering in Springfield, which, let's face it, that's the heart of the state fair is agriculture, and their concerns about the economy, particularly about tariffs, China, the inability to sell beans, pork. I mean, people up here, you know, I'm not trying to be rude here, but I think they just think food comes from the grocery store.
That's a great point, and I like to say that as well. But, you know, it's all manufactured, it's grown, it's processed. You know, in Illinois, we have 592,000 men and women working on factory floors, as we've talked about today, and 70,000 of those are directly related to trade. And, of course, with our farmers, you're right. I mean, our markets in Canada and Mexico, 40% of the Illinois exports go to those two countries. It's more than China and Brazil and Germany and Australia combined. And so getting Congress to act on USMCA when they get back to September is so important, along with agreements with China, European Union, and others, because we have to be able to sell these products around the world.
Or we lose out. We lose out to other manufacturers.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, certainly with the tariffs that are coming and some of our farmers selling soybeans, you know, China, for example, starting to find other sources where they want to buy those products. And, you know, it's so much easier to keep a customer than find a new one. And so we need to
get one back.
And so we need to get resolution to those fairly quickly.
So when Nancy Pelosi was in Springfield on Wednesday for Governor's Day, Democrat Day at the fair, afterwards, she held a brief press conference and was asked about the Mexico-Canada trade agreement and just kind of didn't give any no real concise answer here, but I think Democrats have, to a point, said that their concern rests on guaranteeing kind of working conditions and perhaps even more to the point of recognition of organized labor across the board in these trade pacts.
Yeah, she made that comment, and there's kind of two or three points. One has to do with kind of the worker protections, one some environmental concerns, and third is a pharmaceutical issue. But for someone like a Sherry Bustos, and that's why we had the op-ed and we talked to her, she proudly talks about being a downstate Democrat and outside the city of Chicago. And folks like Sean Caston, Laura Underwood, and Brad Schneider, they're going to make the difference in whether this gets called or not. And as you know, with these trilateral trade agreements, this was negotiated with Canada and Mexico. And so if Congress makes changes, which they have the ability to do, we have to then go back and try to get those changes ratified by those other countries, which is not an always easy thing to do. And so we just can't let this opportunity pass. The president worked with those two countries, and he worked with labor and business and farmers to get these agreements done. We now need members of Congress, and only Democrats and Republicans, to go back and tell Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy, hey, it's time to get this done.
So where do you see this going? I mean, we're in recess now. I mean, this is traditionally the time to get the hometown voices, the word across to your local member of Congress. But I don't know that I see them, focused enough to move this thing right away.
That's the unfortunate part, is we're trying to increase the focus. Certainly manufacturers and farmers are reaching out to the members of Congress every day to try to get them to act. There's a little bit of the power struggle in Washington between the Speaker and the President.
There always is.
Certainly. And so I think that we may see Congress make some tweaks to it, as you mentioned, worker protections or environmental issues. It just can't be so bad that it's going to kill the whole deal. Obviously the president has his view, the speaker has her view, but at the end of the day, we have to have a good policy, because manufacturing and farming supports thousands of jobs in Illinois. As we say, manufacturing is the single largest share of the gross state product. And again, we exported $27 billion worth of goods last year. Farmers exported $3 billion. And so if we don't get this deal, this hurts Illinois families and Illinois workers.
We're speaking with Mark Densler. He's the president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, here in the WGN Skyline studio, joined by Mark Densler, a good friend of the program. He's president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. We're talking about the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement and the impact that would have in kind of providing at least some security, as we always talk about when it comes to business. And certainly farmers in an uncertain era, uncertain with weather, the problems they've had with that, uncertain with trade, everybody's looking for some kind of assurance and security.
Yeah, I mean, businesses want predictability and stability. And we've seen, since NAFTA's been in place for about 25 years, exports have grown 400%. And right now there is this little level of instability, or they're unsure what's going to be next, whether it's with the trade agreements or the tariffs.
And we've seen the markets all over the place.
Up and down, and certainly with the weather. This has been a very, very rough year for farmers, and it's had some, as we talked earlier, some impact on manufacturers, had to slow down production because if farmers aren't making money, they're not buying new combines and new tractors and equipment. And so they need that stability and that certainty.
Well, I was talking to somebody just the other day, and it was like, farmers want to work. They don't want a subsidy check. They don't want an insurance check. And, of course, the problem here in Illinois, too, with the rain and the planting, questions on whether, people could get in for trying to get that crop insurance in time.
Yeah, I think there was a deadline for farmers that they had to make that decision whether to get their beans and corn in the fields or not. And you're right, manufacturers are the same way. I mean, they want to work. They're very proud of what they make. And there's some very cool things that are made in Illinois. And
that's a perfect intro to what I was going to ask you about, because I know you'd been doing this Manufacturing Matters Illinois tour, going literally all over the state to try to highlight again that the role that how essential manufacturing is to the state's economy.
You know, you're right. People don't realize the how big manufacturing is in Illinois and what it means. We employ 592,000 men and women, contribute the single largest share of the gross state product, and we've been in Rockford, we've been in Batavia, Springfield, Carbondale, Metro East, Quad Cities. We're heading to Champaign. And it's great to show, you know, Springfield would go to Mellow Cream Donuts, which you're familiar with.
Yes, I am.
Intertape Polymer and Carbondale. And for the most part, the public doesn't realize these manufacturers exist. To your point earlier about where you get food, the grocery store. No, somebody's made that food. And it's been great to highlight manufacturing. We're at Moline Forge out in the Quad Cities, and a 100-year-old company that started making weapons during World War I.
Right.
And now they've shifted in their industrial supplier. And so getting companies to open their doors and telling young men and women, there are opportunities you have in manufacturing. You can get out of high school, get some additional training, and go start making a job making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, far more than minimum wage. So we've got to do a lot better job of talking about manufacturing. It's no longer dark, dirty, and dangerous. It's cool. It's high tech. It's automated. And we make
digital.
We make some very cool things in Illinois.
Well, and we've talked about this before, and just again to kind of emphasize that how much more I think the state needs to do as far as on a community college level to provide that kind of alternative for those that don't want to necessarily do the whole 4-year college, which is fine. I mean, everybody should have that opportunity, but if you don't want to do it, but to be able to have, you know, reinstill that kind of vocational training, but not vocational in the way that we used to think it was shop class.
You're absolutely right. We've talked about it, and I appreciate that. The vocational education in high schools and community colleges, you're right. It's no longer the jobs we thought about 30 or 40 years ago that my dad went to or others. They are high tech. They're digital. They're cool, and you go out and you see the robotics and you see the automation and the things that are being made will just knock your socks off. And we have to do a better job of telling the story and showing Illinois, hey, what is made here and how cool it is.
But what do we need to do to incentivize manufacturers in this state, particularly in downstate locations that may have, you know, lost that one industry just by virtue of modernization, technology, whatever?
Yeah. Well, we've worked hand-in-hand with the governor this year on a couple big issues, the research and development tax credit, as you know, and then for the education, the apprenticeship tax credit is critically important for companies that are investing in their human capital to offset some of those educational costs. And we're getting out there. We're getting more money put into schools for vocational education and our community colleges, and it's a systemic issue. And we're working to address it. And you're exactly right. In the downstate Illinois, where I grew up and where I live today, that manufacturing is the heart of some of these small towns. And if the manufacturer goes away, that kind of town implodes a little bit. And so there's great opportunities downstate. We have a great skilled workforce. And so Illinois is poised to be a leader again in manufacturing. I mean, we still are. You know, with our central location, our skilled workforce, our transportation system, we have a lot of good things going for us. If we can tweak a couple of Illinois policies, I think we'll really take the shackles off and get moving.
Is it just tweaking?
There's a couple bigger changes, certainly workers' compensation reform.
That was one of the things I was going to say.
Workers' compensation, and certainly the graduated or the progressive income tax. Our members have great concerns about the flat tax is one of the benefits of being in Illinois. And you do have to be careful about overtaxing the golden goose, and that is manufacturing today of $304 billion in economic output and almost 600,000 jobs. You do tread a very fine line, and if you put too many regulations and taxes on employers, they will continue looking to move out of state.
Well, I know, you know, one of the highlights of last session was the R&D tax credit extension, and we've had this conversation before too, but to the life of me, I never understand why it's just a matter of extension, and why not just make it permanent?
You know, I agree, from your lips to the speaker's ears. Generally,
I'm sure that carries a lot of influence.
Generally, in the House, they take the view they only like 5-year extensions, but companies are planning 10 to 20 years down the road and what they're going to make. They're not just saying, hey, we're going to make next year. And so we appreciate the governor this year joining us to extend it early as opposed to letting it expire and then bringing it back. And but yeah, research and development is critical. You look at the iPhone that we're carrying in our pocket today, we're in the 10th iteration in 10 or 11 years. And manufacturing is changing at the speed of light. It is rapidly evolving. And we have to, some of that incentive, China's increased four times what we have over the last decade. We have to stay up to date. And whether it's 5G technology or advanced robotics, pharmaceuticals we've talked about before, research and development is just so important. It is the lifeblood of manufacturing.
Well, and you mentioned appreciating the governor signing that, but at the same time, he's also the single force behind that graduated income tax. Mm-hmm. Where do you think he falls on the scale of business?
You know, he certainly comes from a business background, and we didn't endorse him. We were with the opponent, Bruce Rauner, and we've had a very good relationship, though, the first 7 or 8 months. We don't agree. Certainly minimum wage, we fought tooth and nail. We're opposed to the graduated income tax. But the governor on education, workforce development, on research and development, he's been a strong ally for the manufacturing sector on those issues. So, you know, there's been some good and some bad, but we appreciate an open dialogue and having that communication even when we disagree.
That's Mark Densler. He is president and CEO of the Illinois Manufacturers Association. Mark, always a pleasure to have you in studio. Thank you so much for the treats that we will enjoy. Thank you for starting a new precedent for the Sunday Spin.
Absolutely. Everybody has to bring in goodies now.
Thank you so much.